Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. Let me let you find it and look up this way, and I'll say a couple of things, and then we'll read the 37th, 38th, and 39th verses. Familiar passage in Matthew chapter 24. I've been thinking this weekend about the second coming. Have you? I didn't know about the statements. It's funny. I don't know how I was this far removed from it, but I didn't know about the statements from the fellow, I think, in California. Is that correct? Where else? Okay. I didn't know about the statements that he'd made actually until about Thursday of this week. But his statements, sad though they were, focused my thinking somewhat on the second coming. So this morning in Sunday school and tonight in the service, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 24, the same passage. So hopefully we can get, if I can get my glasses out here, we can get some good out of this. These are my Walmart reading glasses. I used to have two contacts. I only have one now. But Lord willing, next month, I'll get two again. Aren't you glad to hear these kind of things, this little bits of information? Hey, I've got to ask one more thing. How many of you have climbed Old Rag? Is that the name of it, the mountain? Okay. I just want you to know I am now among those who have done it. My son-in-law took me. Yeah, my son-in-law took me. And after I made the hike, I knew why. He took me. He thought I might be at the top of Old Rag. Well, not actually all the way to the top, but somewhere on the rock scrambles. Have you been? It's really something. He didn't tell me about that. Didn't tell me about the rock scramble. Just said, it's a nice 8-mile hike. You'll enjoy it. And I'm bragging about it because I lived through it. I'm very, very happy about that. Okay. I normally like, well, let's stand. Is that all right? Let's just stand out of respect to the Bible. Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. That's a very simple but powerful statement, isn't it? Of that day and hour knoweth no man. Verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away. Father, may we see what you've said here today in order that we can understand it. May we submit ourselves to it. And may this truth be part of our lives, I pray. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus, in teaching on the second coming, the whole issue of the second coming in Matthew chapter 24, said that as it was, this is historical, in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So, in other words, if you'd like to know what Christ's return to this earth is in part like, you have something historical to rest upon to give you knowledge. So you look at the past, you see what has unequivocally or unquestionably happened in the past, and that will help you to know what unquestionably or without equivocation, unequivocally, will happen in the future. In other words, the future in God's statement is just as certain as the past. Which, by the way, is one of the reasons that the past is under attack. Because there are scoffers who have come saying, where's the promise of his coming? In 2 Peter chapter 3. Because these scoffers say, hasn't the earth gone on just as it does now throughout history? Has there ever been anything different or significant that happened on this earth? Well, if there was a worldwide flood, that would be different, would it not? That would be significant. If there was a flood that covered the globe. You know, it's interesting. I love the Grand Canyon. Mary and I have hiked in the Grand Canyon on numerous occasions. I love the canyon. If you've never seen the canyon, you need to see it. The canyon is a look into history. And everybody agrees with that. Everybody does. The question is whether or not the canyon evolved or was made over a period of time by the Colorado River, or whether some unusual circumstances created the canyon. I remember sitting in a lecture with a park ranger who was more of a preacher than a ranger, and she was telling about how the canyon came into being over the course of 2 million years because of the flowing of the Colorado River. Very nice lady, very articulate, did a good job with preaching what she believed. And after the session, I went up to her, and we were talking just a couple of minutes. And again, she was very kind, very nice. I said to her, would it be possible that the canyon, instead of being formed over 2 million years, would it be possible that some cataclysmic event could have made the canyon in just a period of days? And her answer was, of course. Well, that's the only possible answer. I mean, to say, no, this would be impossible, would be absolutely stupid, wouldn't it? Okay, then why not in her presentation, can I call it sermon? Why not include the possibility that some cataclysmic event may have caused the canyon? It did, you know. The silt and so on, and the land was brought in the canyon area, it's at 7,000 feet at the top, by the flood, and the draining of the waters when the what would become stone or rock was still soft, the draining of the waters created the canyon. It really couldn't be any other way. To think that a river there would have carved the canyon in 2 million years, the first question I would have is, why aren't there about 60 million Grand Canyons? Should be one right at the Mississippi. So why aren't there Grand? Well, the answer is that good people, but people refusing Bible truth, choose to set up a theory, which I think is not workable, over 2 million years, then the possibility that what the Bible says is true. So that if the past is not true, you'd have the right to say, how about the future? But if there was a flood and if there was a past, then you can be certain that there will be a future. So four things about Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 to 39, all right? At the flood and before it came, life carried on as usual. Life carried on as usual. That is, there was a proclamation that the flood was coming. We know that, do we not? There was a statement. There was information about the flood, even to specifics, not to the time, but to the fact that it was coming, and that men should be made ready for the coming of the flood. Some were made ready, and they were rescued. They were saved out of the flood. That would be Noah and his family, and the animals that God told Noah to take onto the ark. But there were millions of people, we assume, who drowned in the flood because they weren't prepared for its coming. Because life carried on as usual. The Bible says men ate and they drank and they married and they gave in marriage. And this is a statement of life as we know it. See, all of us eat food. All of us drink liquids. You have to live. Many of us are married, and many of us have given in marriage. It's the most basic or the most common of life practices. So that what the Bible is saying here in Matthew chapter 24 is that life carried on as usual. That is, the truth that the flood was coming was made known, but men chose to just carry on life as if there were no flood in the future. See, life carried on as per usual. Occasionally, Mary and I will be traveling, not very often, but traveling to make schedule on a Sunday. Or we'll be in a church that has an early service, like real early, like 7:30 or 8, and then the service is over at 9:30 and we're gone. Have you ever been around on a Sunday morning or Sunday night and seen people living their lives? It's always discouraging to me. It's always disappointing to me. People just carrying on life, mowing lawns, taking care of laundry, cleaning up around the house, washing the car. None of those things are wrong. It's not the point. The point is they're carrying on life as if eternal values neither existed nor were important. It's not a big deal. In other words, there's a church down the street. I've heard about it. I've seen the sign as I went by. But somehow, that's not important to me. Washing my car is. Mowing the lawn is. Going to a ball game is. These are all things that are important. Now, I'm not saying that any of these things in and of themselves are wicked or are wrong or are immoral. It's not the point. The point is that life carried on as if the threat of the flood were not true. Life carried on as per usual. Number two, these people heard the truth, but they didn't know it. These people heard the truth, but they didn't know it. Now that's fascinating, and that to me, it's more than fascinating, of course, but that is really frightening. These people heard about the flood. How did they hear about the flood? Because of Noah. All right. So Noah was a preacher of righteousness, so they heard about the flood. And by the way, they heard about the flood over a period of many, many years. They heard about the flood, but they didn't know it. Well, you say, how can that be? Well, before we get to the specific answer, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard truth but not know it? Have you ever gone to church and heard pastors speak for 30 minutes or for 45 or whatever and leave the auditorium and not know the truth? Has that ever happened? Have you ever read the Bible and closed the book and not had a clue as to what you read? So all I'm saying is it's possible, is it not? It's possible to hear the truth, but not know the truth. And it is obvious that while these people did hear the truth, they didn't know it. They didn't know the truth. Now, why did they not know the truth? All right, I can't say it any more gently than this. They refused revelation. They refused what God said. Now, in the place of what they refused, they set up man as the standard, which is always what happens when you refuse God's truth. In other words, when you say, well, who's to say that God said X? When you say that, then you become very interested in what man has said and the standard that man sets. You know, I've been intrigued. I don't watch the evening news. I just don't. I gave up on the evening news about, I don't know, 25, 30 years ago. I just stopped watching the evening news. And you say, why? Well, because I just got tired of being mad all the time. And so I just said, there's no future in this. There's no sense in it. I just got tired. Forgive the word. I know you're not supposed to use this word. But I got tired of the stupidity of it, of the things that people were saying and the things that were important. And I had also noticed that a lot of the news was preaching. It wasn't news. For example, especially in local news, I'm sorry, I just can't do it with local news. See, we travel all the time. And so you think, your local news, maybe, well, you've traveled too, but you may think your local news is different than everybody else's or specific. Well, it's all the same every place. In other words, the newscasters, there's always two or three of them, and they always banter around and talk about things, and what do you think about this story, and tell little jokes and laugh and so on and so forth. And I just got tired of that same all the time. And then I noticed that they tell you how to live your life. When you watch the news, you're told how to eat, how to drive. That especially offended me. How to drive, how to dress, how to act in society, whether or not that major concerns in society were right or wrong, like abortion, or drinking, or even drugs, or whether or not, for example, in our current day, people who have no legal right, and I'm not preaching about this, so don't get worried about it, people who have no legal right to entrance into this country are here nonetheless and working for people who do have a legal right to be here, but aren't that concerned about people who don't have a legal right, because they're great workers and in many cases great people, and they're cheap. And probably I listed the three things in the wrong order, but nonetheless, so you hear about all these things. And you hear not only opinions, but opinions given as if they were fact. And the reason is because fewer people sit under the preaching of God's word to decipher or discern what's right or wrong or good or bad. And so more people are open to the opinions of other people. See, so man becomes the standard. Genesis 6 said that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts were only evil continually. Now that's what God said before the flood, but that's not what man was saying. See, because when man becomes the standard of right and wrong, then that standard changes from what God has said. So who's to say, for example, that legal use of marijuana is wrong? Who's to say that a man who cheats, the old word, on his wife is wrong? I actually heard a guy on news say about a fellow whose first name was John. I don't know. Well, his last name was a lot like the pastor's. But at any rate, this fellow who was a vice presidential candidate and cheated on, which is the most despicable kind. I mean, honestly, people, you'd think anybody would be turned inside out by this. His wife dying of cancer, we all knew that. His wife was, I think, universally admired or respected, no matter what your political views are. She was to be admired, respected. Meanwhile, he has an association. He has, he's off with a girlfriend and produces a child and so on and so forth. And I actually heard a man say, well, you know, it appears to me that John really loved this lady and that she loved him too. What's he doing? He's moving the goalpost in the simple standards of morality. I mean, it's really pathetic. But the point is that when God's standard is not heeded and adhered to, then man becomes the standard. So that what did they do that was wrong in the days before the flood? Well, we know there was murder. Well, isn't that considered wrong? Well, in most cases, but in some cases, maybe not legally, but at least in my thinking, it's justifiable. The guy wouldn't give him the money. So you say, well, no, nobody says that's okay. Well, it depends. It's okay if you run a country. You can murder people if they don't give you the money. And that's really about what it all amounts to. That's why Gaddafi is having a hard time right now. Some of the biggest thugs on this planet are people that run nations. And some of those nations, not a few of them, are allies of the United States of America. All I'm saying is, in most cases, what I think about drinking based on what the scripture teaches would be laughed at. What we think about morality based on what the scripture teaches would be sneered at. See, and man became the standard. So, number one, life carried on as per usual. Number two, man became the standard. Number three, and this is fascinating to me, the flood came. the flood came. In other words, it doesn't make any difference what men believe and how they reconstruct God's laws and how they reevaluate matters of morality. Let me tell you something. There is a God in heaven who does set the standard. He always has. He always will. There is not one thing on this earth you can do about that. And whether you like it or not has nothing to do with the outcome. It's like me not liking gravity. Gravity's old. It's old hat. It's old school. It's been around too long. I think I'll just climb up on top of the church and float down to my car. Well, I'll get down to the car all right, but a lot quicker than I expected. And lest you think that this is just being facetious, which is the basis of my statement, there are people who buy into stuff like that, who think that God's laws morally can be tampered with without the outcomes that God has promised. So the flood came. Smirk if you want, laugh if you will, agree if you want, disagree. Be religious about it, be non-religious about it, show up, worship the God of heaven, or refuse to worship the God of heaven. You mark this down in black, you underline this in red. What God says will happen will. And the flood came. Now, forgive me for giving deference to stuff that our nation has heard the last few weeks. There's no time table given as to the coming of the flood. No matter how clever you may be, no matter how into numbers you may be, the time of the flood's coming is not what is important. The fact that it is coming is what was important. So life carried on as per usual. Man set up himself as the standard, and the flood came. Now, I do think this is tragic because in homes with children, for example, there were children by the hundreds of thousands, we suspect millions, that drowned. It was not a pretty sight. It would not have been easy to see. I mean, forget the fact that you may live. I would assume, I'm making all this up, but why not? Why would it be possible that a baby or a four-year-old or a six-year-old drowned while dad and mom were able to maintain life for several hours or maybe even a day? It's conceivable. And I would suspect that things like that happen. And the only point I'm making here is that there would have been people who would have seen the devastation and known that they lost family and friends and loved ones and cohorts. They would have known that before they themselves succumbed to the flood. It's a terrible thing. The flood came. And what happened to the people who died in the flood was totally unnecessary. I don't mean to be silly about this, but all you needed was a boat. You needed one that was strong. You needed one that was fairly large. You needed one that could, no cuteness intended here, ride out the storm, but that was possible. And there was a man who made one. And while everybody could not have fit on Noah's boat, other people could have made their own, could they not? Now, that's not what the passage teaches us. I'm just saying it's a possibility. And so the flood came. And when the flood came, these people died. See, this is real. In other words, what we're talking about here is real. What I think about drinking or not drinking is real. What I think about morality or immorality is real. What this church teaches about marriage or about raising children or about your relationship to the government or about your relationship to your boss, or about your interrelationships in the family. This is all real stuff. This is what it's about. And people live and die in accordance to Bible truth. See, the flood came. The flood came. Number one, life carried on as usual. Number two, they refused revelation and man became the standard. Number three, the flood came And to me, the most ironic truth of all this, number four, some people never saw it. Some people who heard about the flood and carried on their life as per usual never saw the flood. Okay, why did they not see it? Because they died before the flood came. Here's an interesting passage of Scripture. And as it is appointed unto man once to, help me out, but after this the judgment, so Christ once was offered to bear the sins of many, and shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, that verse in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27, that verse is about Christ's return to this earth. That's what it's about. Okay, now look at this again. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Okay, so as Christ will. The verse is about Christ coming back to this earth. So he will come back to this earth. But literally, millions of people who have lived on this planet will not be here when that moment comes. Literally millions. And why not? Well, the why not is simple, because they've died. See, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ once was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So the verse that says Christ is coming says men have an appointment with death. Now, that is accepted, or there is an exception to it if Christ comes. For example, if the Lord Jesus came today, which of course is possible, it's next. That's what the word imminent means. We believe in Christ's imminent return. What does that mean? It means that Christ's return is the next event on God's agenda. All right, so just as surely as Christ comes, men die. And just as surely as men die, they face God in judgment. And just as certainly as men face God in judgment, so Christ comes. See, they're all equally certain as to their happening. See, one's not more important than the other as to the truth or the fact it will come to pass. So, if you want to know whether or not Christ is coming, ask yourself, will you ever die? In other words, my saying, well, I don't know that I buy into this religious silliness of Christ's return to this earth. Men have been saying that for years. Well, what about the guy that promised yesterday? I'm not so sure that Christ will come back to this earth. You're an idiot. That's like my saying, you know, I'm not so sure I'll ever die. I'm 68. What's 68? 78, 108, 208, 408, 1,008. A lot of people die, but I'm just going to refuse to. I'm not going to die. Well, wouldn't that be idiotic to make a statement like that? Of course, because men die. Okay, no more certain is death than judgment. No more certain is judgment than Christ coming. No more certain is Christ coming than death. See, as it is appointed and men wants to die. Now let me ask you a question, and then we got to quit. When are you going to die? Well, most of us don't know. There are occasionally people who know they're going to die, who know they're going to die months before the act. Isn't that true? The cheapest illustration I can think of is an execution. Here's an execution date, the 10th of June. And it's set, 6, 8, 10 months before the 10th of June rolls around. So here's a guy that knows the last appeal and whatever, unless the governor steps in and he happened to shoot the governor's wife, so that's probably not going to happen. So here's a guy that knows on the 10th of June, I'll buy the farm. But most of us don't know the date, do we? Well, is the date then that important? In other words, could I say to you, you know, you don't know the date of your death, so what meaning does your death have? Well, it's got bunches. See, if you said to me, do you know when you're going to die, Bill? No, I don't. You think you're going to die? No, I will. Except Christ would come. But yeah, I'm going to die. I don't know the date. It doesn't make any difference. Why do we have to know dates to get all stirred up about fact? See, in other words, why would I have to say to you, you will die June 10th. Now start getting worried about it. Well, if any of us had any brains, we would say, I'm going to die. I don't know when it is, but it could be June the 10th, so I need to be ready for it. And that's the point. The guys that lived on this earth in the days of Matthew 24, in the days of which Matthew 24 speaks, when Noah's flood came, they weren't prepared. And here's a guy, I'm making this up, that's laughing about the flood. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's the most silly thing I've ever heard of. A flood? What's a flood? A boat? What's a boat? And he's laughing about that. Yeah, are you going to die, sir? Well, yeah. Well, then, wouldn't it make sense to be ready for that? You know, preparation for meeting God is not a waste of time. Because all of us are going to meet God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So the bottom line is, when I hear about the second coming, the bottom line is, I need to be ready for it. Because the end of all of this is judgment and meeting Almighty God. And not just judgment in the terrible sense of the great white throne, but judgment in the sense of responsibility at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to give account of myself to God. In the days that were before the flood, men lived life as normal. Men refused or rejected truth, and therefore man became the standard. The flood came anyway, just as God had said it would through his servant Noah. And the ironic tragedy is many people never saw it because they met God before their family members in the flood. See, we're going to meet God. That is as certain as death or the second coming. You can bank on it because of what the Bible says. And if what happened in the past is true, and it is, then what will happen in the future is true, and it is. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for loving us. Help us to think properly when it comes to matters of Bible truth, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.